Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. I'm Brian Freeman, Associate Athletic Director for Strategic Communications, and we are visiting this week with a senior member of the men's indoor and outdoor track and field team, Raphael Scott. Raphael, appreciate your taking the time this week.
Yeah, no problem.
You guys open the season at Vanderbilt's meet, the Commodore Invitational, this weekend, and you're going into your senior year. Does it feel any different as you get ready to start another season, or have you treated it kind of like it's business as usual?
Yeah, it's business as usual. This season I want to really, really step up. Like, I stepped up last year, but this year I need to break more records and really get my name out there.
All right. You own one school record. That's in the 60-meter dash in the indoor. Mm-hmm. And you're second in two others and third in another. This is both indoor and outdoor school all-time lists. So there are records to be had. Do you have any other goals or expectations for your senior year?
I want to get me and the 4x1 team in the Nationals. I really want to get them there because I've been there before, so I want to try to get them there.
And, you know, to follow up on that, like, what do you and you guys in that instance being a relay team, what do you think you need to do to make that happen?
I feel like it's a confidence thing. Like, we got to get more confident with the handoffs. They got to get more confident with, like, in their mind. So, I mean, we can get it. We could have got close last year, but if I wouldn't have got hurt, so...
All right, so we brought it up. The school record you do own is in the indoor 60-meter dash. It was 6.59 seconds, and you set it at Vanderbilt's meet last year. What was your reaction when, like, did you know it when you crossed the line, or did you find out kind of after the fact, and what was your reaction when you figured it out?
I knew it was a fast time because I got out of the blocks real good, but I didn't even think it was going to be that fast. So I was kind of shocked when I looked up and seen it.
But. So, you know, a lot of times in team sports, it's people who have watched it, seen it, understand, okay, you run plays in practice, you go through what the other team's going to do and try and prepare for it. There's obviously this individual element to track and field. So kind of explain for our listeners what you do in practice and how long you're out there and how much time you put into the different aspects of sprinting.
With sprinting, it's mostly like a technique thing. If you can get the technique down, then, like, it just comes natural, like. And I practice like it's a meet. Because if you practice like it's a meet, it won't be nothing different in between practicing and meet. Besides maybe the level of competition. But if you got the mindset that you'll win, then you'll do fine.
Like, do you do, every day you're out there, is it a certain number of sprints? Or is it just that you work on starts? Or, you know, and how much time are you out there, like, on a Tuesday or a Wednesday afternoon before you go to a meet like this weekend?
It's a different workout every day. Like, Mondays we may have, like, 6 200s, and then Tuesday we might have technique, like, block starts and stuff like that. And we usually out there about 2 to 2.5 hours.
So, when you get to the meet this weekend, what's your pre-race routine? How do you get ready to compete?
I listen to my music, stretch a little bit, do a little shakeout, and then we go through our warm-up, and after the warm-up, it's time to race.
Is that like 30 minutes before, or hour before?
It really depends on the person. Like me, I like to warm up like about 30 to 20 minutes before. Like, I don't want to warm up too early and then cool back off, so I try to get it, like, right in the middle.
Now, a lot of these meets, are you at the luxury of a prelim race? You're only, is it like one race and an event a day, or do you? I mean, and how do you handle that? Because now you're warming up, yeah. You're competing, you're cooling down, and it can be a long day at the track, and you compete for, on a good day, less than 30 yeah. seconds.
Yeah. I mean, some races have prelims and finals, and then some don't. But the races that have prelims and finals, like, you'll run the prelim, and then you'll have at least an hour and a half to 2 hours between each. So you got time to rest and then warm back up again.
When you get in the blocks, how much attention are you paying to those guys on the other side of you, if at all? Or are you just looking straight ahead and figuring what you need to do to get across that line?
I look down the lane. You can't look side to side. You got to focus on your lane. Getting in the blocks, that's the scariest part of the race. But once the gun go off, just got to look down your lane.
So you mentioned it early on. And it happened at the Sunbelt meet last year. You win the 60-meter dash for the second year in a row. Mm-hmm. You've qualified second in the 200 meters. And then in that finals,
yeah.
you end up hurting your hamstring. And so, like, when that happened, did you even know, as you were just trying to finish the race and get across the line, how bad it was and how much it would affect the rest of your spring?
I didn't think it was that bad. I stopped because I thought, like, I didn't want to injure it anymore, so I stopped. But then I realized that if I kept going, I could get at least a point. So I did cross the finish line, but I didn't think it was as bad as it was.
Knowing... I mean, you didn't at the time, so somehow you found a way to manage it around practice yeah. and go back to the NCAA championships for the second year. Was there anything special you had to do in that 2.5 to 3 weeks between championships to be able to compete at the NCAAs?
The coaches made me take a week and a half off of practice, so I didn't get to practice like the week before national. So I got a lot of rest, and then I got a few days of practice in, so... And then when I went to Nationals, I was doing a lot of stretching. So I was pretty good for the race.
And that was kind of your season right there. You ran yeah. a couple times outdoor, but yeah. you didn't compete at the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
Explain to our listeners, you know, in that instance with that type of injury, when you're a sprinter, I mean, I'm not sure if there's a more important part of the
yeah.
body.
Yeah.
What was rehab like? What did you have to do? How much time a day did you have to put into getting healthy again to be able to compete at your highest level for your senior year?
Our trainer today, he's a real good trainer. So we did a bunch of different stuff, like three times. We did Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And we did at least hour and a half of rehab. So, I mean, my hamstrings are fine now because he got them real strong, so I shouldn't have any hamstring problems this year.
Yeah, and that actually leads me to my next question. Is there something maybe in the weight room or is it in different stretches that you feel like it's preventable, that you shouldn't have that issue at any point this spring?
Yeah, we focus a lot of, like, hamstring exercises like RDLs and glute ham raises and stuff like that, so... The hamstring should be fine this season.
Our guest this week on Inside Jag Nation, Raphael Scott, senior from men's track and field program. Team opens up Friday, Saturday at Vanderbilt's Commodore Invitational in Nashville. At this point in your career, you're a two-time second-team All-American in the 60-meter dash in the indoors. You've qualified for the NCAA Regional in the outdoors as a sophomore. One school record, top three in three other events. So it's kind of a lot out there. When you came here as a freshman, what were your expectations?
I didn't even plan on running track when I got here. My brother convinced me to try for the team. So I'm a walk-on. I was in my apartment one day. He was like, "You wasting your time." So I went and tried out. And when I tried out, I was already the fastest person on the team.
Would this be... older brother Ryan, who was once a member of the football program here.
Yeah, that's
right. All right. He'll come back up later in the conversation. I do have another question, but so here you walk onto the team, find out that at least in this group that you're as fast as they come. And then your freshman year at the Sunbelt Indoor Meet in the 60-meter dash, you were only 0.05 of a second from being all-conference.
Yeah.
What was running through your mind at that point to know that you were actually that close to that kind of honor as a true freshman?
I wasn't expecting to get fourth place. But I was, once I got fourth place, I was mad that I got it because I knew I could have done better. So that's what made me step up these last few years.
All right. In that same race the next February, you come away the winner, your first conference championship. What was that feeling like when you crossed the line?
I was really surprised. I mean, I wasn't expecting to run the time I ran. Like, that was one of my fastest times that I ever ran. So
that year, your sophomore year, was also the first time that you qualified for the NCAA Indoor Championship. Once you found out you were going after winning that conference title, what was your approach? How did you handle going from conference level to national level?
We amped up the training a little bit. Like, we didn't know if we was going to get in or not because we got the last spot. So we didn't know if we was going to get in. So once we found out we was going to get in, the training went up a lot. Like more sprint work, like power-wise and technique-wise, just to work on my explosiveness.
Now, I'm sure that was different than last year because, you know, like you said, you were recovering from the injury at the Sunbelt meet.
Yeah.
But with your school record time, were you the last one in, or did you know you were going so you at least could kind of you could kind of figure out your plan of attack knowing that it was a done deal?
Yeah, I was second last year.
So each year, we talked about how your freshman year you were 0.05 of a second from being all conference, and that seems, I don't even know, it's a snap of a finger.
Yeah.
Each time at the NCAAs, you've been 0.02 of a second, I mean, less than half that time from making the finals.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your reaction? I mean, you're running, it's two different heats, I believe, and so you don't know till the second one's over who advances, but like, what's it like to know that, I'm that close?
Yeah, I was a little upset when I didn't make it last year because, I mean, my first year I didn't make it, so I was like, well, I know I can make it this year, and then I didn't make it, so I was really upset about that.
All right, so your sophomore year, the first time you went to the NCAA championship, you also put up times in the 100 and 200 meters outdoors the second part of that spring to get you into the East Region preliminary rounds. You know, what do you think was the key that year that helped you take that success and continue it in the outdoor season?
I stayed healthy. That was the main thing. Like, I stayed healthy. I did get sick before conference, and that played a part in me the second day. Like, I was all sore and stuff like that because I didn't get the practice from being sick. But for the most part, I was healthy the entire outdoor.
So that does lead me into my next question. Describe for our listener other than there's a roof over your head and the shorter sprint, 60 meters instead of 100, those are obvious differences. But for you as a competitor, what are some of the differences between indoor and outdoor, and what do you need to do to prepare for those different situations?
Really, the only difference in indoor and outdoor is the track, like mainly for like the 200 and 400 stuff because the tracks are banked, and then you have the wind. Because outdoor, you got wind that can help you or be a negative. But, really, it's just a track.
So, like, really, do you find that, regard, this semester, you will train, practice the same way all the way through, or do you change anything once you get past the indoor season?
Indoor and outdoor training is a lot different because the races are longer. So when outdoor comes around, we'll be more stuff to benefit a 100-meter race instead of a 60-meter race.
All right. You mentioned your brother Ryan before and how he kind of nudged you into going out and competing with track. He was on the first football teams here at South. He's one of three older brothers that you have. So tell our listeners, what's it like growing up as the youngest of four boys?
It's all right. Sometimes they get on my nerves, but for the most part, it's good. They help me when I need it. And anything I need, I know I can go to them. So.
Do you find that whatever it was that you were playing growing up with those guys, that trying to compete with older kids helped you today?
They helped me a lot, because I know my brother Ryan, he used to do this little workout thing called Dog Pound Fitness, and he was helping me a lot before I tried out. So he a big part of me making the team.
How old were you when you started competing in track, actually competing instead of just running around as a kid? And do you remember why you got into it?
I started running track in seventh grade. I started running because Ryan was in high school at the time, and I ran because he ran. But I started running track in seventh grade. But I didn't start doing individual events until my senior year. So I was only doing relay
teams.
So I didn't start doing 100 and 200 until my senior year.
Huh. What led you to make that decision to finally kind of break out?
My coach told me that we had a big meet called Gaston Hughes in Mississippi, and my coach told me that if I didn't run 100, that I couldn't go. So I had to run.
So since you came here with no intent to compete, and Ryan had to push you towards that decision, why did you come to South? Did you look at any other schools? What were you looking at for the college experience, since unlike a lot of kids, it wasn't necessarily a scholarship and competing at that level?
I really wanted to go to LSU just because I liked their football team. But I came here because Ryan was here, and my other brother, Roy, he was still here. So I just came over here because they were here.
You find that maybe it might have been a little easier for you as a freshman because you might have had some experience hanging around the school, and your brothers kind of could point you in the right direction.
Yeah, I was with them all the time.
All right, you just graduated in December. Tell our listeners what was running through your mind as you were walking across the stage here in the Mitchell Center.
Probably that I really got to be a grown-up now. I mean, like, it started coming at you fast. Like, I got to do this, I got to do that. Like, mainly trying to find a job and all that stuff, but I'm trying to go back to school to the graduate program for sports management, so. Because I want to coach track on a collegiate level, so.
Yeah, multiple degrees definitely helping that. Do you think about competing beyond this year?
My coaches, me and my coaches, they all think I can run pro. Like, one of my coaches, Coach James, he know some agents. I'm sure my coach Mike, he knows some people. So I got the time to do it, so I just got to take a chance at it.
I guess it seems like a lot of the professional stuff actually, I guess, might be more overseas than here. Have you thought about that? Have you ever done that kind of travel, or is that something that scary to you or interesting?
I mean, they have some here, but the majority of them are overseas, like the Diamond League and stuff like that. And I mean, I don't like flying, but if I got to do it, then I got to do it.
Our guest this week on Inside Jag Nation has been Raphael Scott from the men's track and field program. We'll be racing Friday and Saturday at the Commodore Invitational hosted by Vanderbilt. But before we let you go, I'm going to ask you a few questions and really just want you to tell me the first answer that comes to your mind when you hear them. Try and get our listeners to know a little bit about you outside of track. I always tell student athletes between class, study hall, practice, competition, travel, it's obvious you don't have a lot of free time. So when you have a couple minutes to yourself, what's your favorite thing to do?
Sleep.
What's your favorite sport outside of track?
Football.
What's the best athletic event that you've attended as a fan?
Probably a football game. Yeah.
NFL, LSU, specific game, or just you like going to football games?
The Mississippi State-Alabama game when I had two cousins that played there.
Okay. If there's one athletic event that you've never been to that you want to go to as a fan, what's the top of your list?
A professional soccer game.
If you're going on a dream vacation, where are you going?
Bahamas.
What's your favorite movie?
The Wood.
Who's your favorite musical artist?
21 Savage.
And years down the road, done competing, coaching, a Hollywood producer finds it fascinating that a walk-on becomes an All-American and writes a script for it and going to direct a movie. What actor is he going to hire to play the lead role of Raphael Scott?
Will Smith can see the best actor.
All right, our guest this week on Inside JAG Nation has been Raphael Scott. Best of luck, not just this weekend, but your entire senior season. We appreciate the time.
No problem.
Inside JAG Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside JAG Nation every week on USAJaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags! Wow!